podcast, Suddenly 70, by Ricky Tarofsky. Viva Italia, Part 1. I was careful not to step on a scale while we were traveling in Italy recently, but my very tight pants mid-journey indicated that I was enjoying the food and drink way too much. This was not my first time in this beautiful country. I studied in Rome many years ago with a brilliant voice coach, then biked with Charles about 25 years ago from Milan to Venice, helped celebrate my sister's birthday in Venice 1 May, and cycled in Puglia a few years ago. So Italy is not new to me, but the country is always a revelation. I think what I like most, aside from the wonderful cuisine, is the light. There is always a slight tinge of ochre to the buildings. The sky is a subtle blue and the mountains green-gray. There's just a hint of pink everywhere. Our trip was planned in April and our dear friends Stuart and Barbara from Lancashire joined us. This is not the first trip that we've shared and I am sure won't be the last. It is always a tricky proposition traveling with another couple, but the four of us just flow well together. Stuart and I do all the planning, and everyone is always ready to laugh. There's never a question about money. We just split everything. We all love our food and drink and often separate during the day and meet in the bar before dinner. It all works well, and we are still friends after our holidays together. I like to travel light, but a 10-day trip requires more than a weekend bag. Both Charles and I took our mid-sized Tumi suitcases. Well, it sounds like I'm bragging with Tumi, but I was able to get them at a terrific price in Florida a few years ago. For years, I've used cleaner plastic bags over my clothes on hangers and then fold them in my case. My clothes just never get creased, and it's so easy to just open the suitcase, take out the two bags, and hang them up. I can usually get about 4 pairs of pants in one and 6 or 7 tops in another. If I need formal wear on a cruise, I put all the dresses together on hangers and cover with the plastic cleaner bags. This has been working perfectly for me since my opera travel days. In the bottom of the case, I place a nightie, bathing suit, a synthetic towel to wrap my hair after I wash it, and I take a small towel wrap for my body. I like to do my makeup covered up. A bath towel would almost work as well, but this has a Velcro top and doesn't fall down. I've been known to use it as a cover-up in a motel when there isn't a bathrobe supplied, and I want to go for a swim. For this trip, I packed a pair of walking shoes, 2 pairs of loafers, and 1 pair of high wedges in black for a slightly dressier feel. My panties and bras fit in a pocket of the case, and my cosmetics that I can't carry on the plane fit in another with a small Brookstone travel dual-voltage hairdryer. I throw in a raincoat and fold-up umbrella and small knapsack in an outside pocket. My iPad and Kindle go in a small carry-on with my meds, cosmetics, jewelry, passport, and trip plans, just in case my suitcase is lost. I don't pack Charles's bag, but I oversee it after I've done my own, just to be sure he takes appropriate clothes. He also uses the cleaner bags on hangers for his shirts. He takes a knapsack on the plane with his meds and travel computer. This knapsack has a big problem staying with Charles. It seems to like airport shuttle rides, and it often remains on the bus after we have departed. Fortunately, we've always managed to remember it and find it eventually. I've been traveling for most of my life. When I was performing in Europe or studying there, I got very comfortable with the vagaries of air travel and comfortable with it in a completely normal sort of way. In those days, I flew economy, and I still do for short hauls, but now that I'm older and can thankfully afford it, I go business class and look for the lowest business class fares or multi-city fares that I can find. The trips overseas are pleasant, and I usually manage to get about 5 hours of sleep in the pod beds. Air Canada is good, with acceptable food, but Air New Zealand doesn't have to worry about the competition. On this trip, we were arriving about 7 hours earlier than our friends, so I booked a day room in the hotel in Malpensa Airport in Milan. That proved to be a terrific idea. We walked with our bags, checked into our room, went to sleep, and I woke up to go for a swim in the lovely indoor pool. We showered, had a bite of pizza and a glass of Prosecco, and were ready to meet our friends at the car rental. We did not feel like zombies and were ready for our adventure. The car rental was a ridiculously lengthy process. Although it was pre-booked with budget, it just took an inordinate amount of time for everyone in front of us and as well for us. After deciding against the first vehicle that we were offered, not the one booked, of course, we found a larger Ford that could carry all our combined gear, including Barbara's large pink suitcase. We were able to get this car because the attendant thought Charles was some old American movie star. Go figure. We then set off for our first night's stay in Lago Maggiore, one of the gorgeous Italian lakes. Stuart and I chose all the hotels about 6 months previously, and we were able to get great rates. It didn't hurt that he is a travel agency, and we enjoyed some terrific discounts. The first hotel was stunning, perhaps my favorite of the trip, called Villa Palazzo Aminta. It's a member of the leading hotels of the World Group, and that is always an indication of quality. In beautiful condition, this older property is lovingly restored and now owned by Roberto Zanetta, who was constantly walking around checking on our satisfaction. I love management that cares. The hotel is situated opposite the lake and about 10 minutes from Stresa. The view is incomparable. We arrived late, but I had reserved a table in the charming Imori restaurant on the main floor of the hotel, with its garden atmosphere and Belle Epoque style, and it didn't disappoint. Charles and Barb had a scrumptious seafood soup, while I had carpaccio, quite tasty, and then the same pasta as Stuart, gnocchi with shrimp. Our rooms were well decorated with antiques, although I changed mine to a full sea view with a little more space, rationalizing that I probably wouldn't be back in this area, might as well enjoy it to the fullest. After a big lightning storm that lit up the room overnight, I overslept and was just waking up at the time we had scheduled to meet for breakfast. I did make it, albeit late, and was able to enjoy the exquisite buffet and the rendezvous with our tour guide for the day. Michaela Lucchini was our private guide for the day's tour of the beautiful islands, Bella Pescatori and Madre. It is worth it to book a private guide, especially if you are part of a small group. She arrived with a boat driver who picked us up, dropped us off, and met up with us after we had toured the islands. It was a whole day's tour and well worth it. The day started off chilly and rainy, but just after Barb purchased an umbrella, the sun came out, and for the rest of our vacation, it remained with us. The Borromeo family owns Isola Bella, and it is possible to tour the castle. This is often done to help pay taxes on properties in Europe. They close off the private areas. The castle is immense, with magical gardens and incredible art throughout. When the family's in residence, they raise a flag. Michaela knew the history and the details of the art in every room and salon. We walked everywhere we could and wandered among the peacocks and wild birds. The interior reminded me of Catherine's palace outside of St. Petersburg, with its exquisite art and furnishings and grandiose halls. Our boatman arrived, and we went to Isola Pescatore for a visit to its small town and lunch at a charming cafe for pizza, wine, and prosecco for me. We were easily getting into the swing of eating and drinking. Note that it is often very nice to include the tour guide in lunch or coffee breaks and to treat them. After lunch, we went by boat once again and toured Isola Madre, the largest of the three islands. There are botanical gardens and beautiful views of Stresa. Michaela was well versed in her botany. After an espresso, we returned to our hotel. Stuart and I decided we would go for a swim in the heated outdoor pool that sits among beautiful gardens overlooking the sea. Their idea of heated and ours was quite different. It was frigid. But we hung in there as we found ourselves trapped in the middle of an outdoor wedding reception. It was challenging to figure out how to get out of the water amidst the evening gowns and our very white, shivery skin. But eventually we made it and found the Grotto Spa of the hotel that housed a steam room and beautiful hot tub. Dinner was a guess of mine after researching Google and seeing what seemed interesting. Il Clandestino turned out to be stellar. The hotel offered a shuttle there and back as it was in Stresa. Not a good idea to consume wine and drive the winding road. The owner chose a meal for us after discussing any diet restrictions like low salt for me and special delights. Dislikes, that is. It was a grand menu with tuna crudo, truffles, and a soft poached egg. Amberjack, a local fish from the sea with spinach and fennel. Ravioli and crustaceans, and samples of many tiny chocolate desserts. Wonderful wines, espresso. Best of all, the entire bill was reasonable, under $100 US per couple. It was a great evening until I inadvertently closed the shuttled van door on Charles's hand. Ouch. He forgave me, though after some loving care with polysporin and band-aids, he was fit for our next day's travel to Verona. I can't wait to tell you about it. Bye for now.